Yeah.
Well, you know, Karen was never one to follow orders very well anyway, but, and I probably forgot to tell her this time. Remember how I used, same jokes all the time. We bring back some warm weather when you come, sort of thing. And look at it. It's 11 degrees this morning or something, whatever it was. Yeah, okay. Well, Wisconsin finally showed up. Maybe I can give this to Bob here.
We're going to be singing something that's not in the hymnal. You might want to look at that before you
come.
Yeah, you must not have seen that yet. The surprise email.
That's all right.
Okay, good enough. We're going to be looking at second part of foiling fears. 1 Thessalonians 2, 13 to 20. Might want to shut that door. There's probably a colder out there than it is in here. So, for those listening where it's warm, don't tell us about it. That, very good. Thank you. All right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you tonight for being able to be here. Thank you for giving us a safe day and safety here tonight. Pray you help us have a safe trip home later on. Pray that you'd guide us as we look at this portion of Scripture again. And pray that you'd help us not to fear. There's all kinds of things out there that we could be afraid of, and yet that's not what the Lord wants of us. And so we just pray that you'd help us to learn your truths tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so foiling fears. You know, we got to stick with the alliteration stuff. Avoiding, stopping the fear. They're in 1 Thessalonians 2, 13 to 20. We could probably take the whole time listing all the things that we could be afraid of. And there's all kinds of phobias out there and that people are afraid of. And Scripture tells us that God has not given us the spirit of fear. So who does that leave? Satan, okay? He's the author of fear. It's one of the tools in his tool bag, and it works, and so he keeps on using it. And if we don't get afraid of one thing, you know, it's kind of like bait. You know, we talk about catching fish, and if one kind of bait doesn't work, same thing. You know, he baits us to try to get us to sin. If one temptation won't work, he comes up with another one. Well, I think it works probably the same way with fear. You don't fear this particular thing, but you may fear something else, you know? So we just keep coming up with new stuff, you know? One thing that might help in 2021. I got everybody's attention. Turn off the news. There may not be any good news this year. Oh, yeah. Okay. Okay, so 1 Thessalonians 2, we've been looking at 13 to 20. We've looked at a portion of that already. Just a little bit of review here. But again, God repeatedly tells us not to be afraid. And I looked that up, and I think I mentioned that last time. How many times did we say the Bible tells us not to fear? Okay, my little phone thing, look it up on there, said 170. And I was looking at something else, and it's 365. So I don't know if that's one a day. You know, you have your one a day multiple vitamin, and then you have your one a day verse to keep you from being afraid that day. How's that? Now, I don't know where the difference is between the 170 and the 365. Somebody, any of you guys, you know, again, I haven't run into many people talk about being bored or whatever. Sit down with your Bible, concordance, Strong's, you know, if you need one of those things. Got to be strong to carry the book around, you know. But look at the, or your Bible program and you count them up. See how many you come up with. So there seems to be some discrepancy, and that's a lot of different ones. But and maybe they're taking all the different variations of being afraid. But God's saying, don't, stop, you know. And yet Satan wants to control us with fear, stop us in our tracks, okay? And again, there's a lot more than three, but in this particular passage, he mentions three different things that will help us to stop fearing, okay? And one of those, the first one that we looked at there, was found in verse 13. And he begins to talk about, verse 13, 1 Thessalonians 2:13 says, "For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when you have received the word of God, which ye have heard of us, you received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which is effectively worketh also in you that believe." And so he said they received the word of God. And they believed it. Remember the old, God said it, I believe it, that settles it. I mean, that's kind of oversimplification, but the idea is God's word says it, okay, so I'm going to believe it. And yet, again, this is one of the things that Satan tries to get people to do, to doubt the word of God. You know, is that really, and somebody was telling me here the other day, that they have problems getting people to read scripture because, oh, it's just man's words. It's just men that wrote it. And so, you know, they don't want to pay any attention to it. Well, yeah, it wasn't like the Ten Commandments where God, you know, wrote it in the stone. It'd be a little hard to carry around, wouldn't it? But yeah, he used men to write this, but he wrote it and it's true. Okay. There's an awful lot of stuff out there. And so you've seen some of this, and I even forwarded some of it. I tried to put on there, you know, I have no way of knowing if this is true or not, but here's what somebody's saying, you know, and who was saying it was supposedly a Christian and so on. And, you know, it all turned out to be fizzlers, you know. And not that we'd necessarily want everything to happen that they were predicting or so on, but to doubt it. So now I'm not believing much of anything that people send me, okay? But I don't want to doubt God's word, okay? Because it's true and accurate when it was written. It's still true and accurate today. We can stake our eternity on what it says. And if we can count on it to help us to know how we can be saved, not go to hell and go to heaven for all eternity, we can also trust God and his word to help us to know what to do today and tomorrow and the next day. And so we want to eliminate the doubts. And so when some thought comes across your mind saying, I don't know about that, kind of let the yellow flashing light come on, because that's not God causing you to think that way. That's Satan, okay? And he tells us here, he says, all scripture, not some of it, not a part of it, not just that's in red print. It's all given to us by inspiration of God. It's God breathed. He's given it to us. He says it's profitable for doctrine or teaching, for reproof, for what is wrong in our lives, for correction, how to make things right, and for instruction in righteousness. Okay? And so God wants to equip us. And you've probably got books on your shelf that, you know, have several different copyrights. They keep updating things and with new information, as well as correcting all the spelling errors and so on. And so, but we don't have to do that with God's word. You know, I mean, I know they keep rewriting stuff. They keep coming out with new translations. And probably the more translations that get, the further and further away from the truth you get. You know, it's, I mean, I joke about giving people the Reader's Digest version, you know, condensed version of something. But their Reader's Digest did put out a Bible. It probably doesn't want one that you want to spend much money on. So all Scripture, it's there for us. And so we don't want to doubt God's Word. Secondly, if you're going to believe in the Word of God, you might as well expect some flack. Okay? There's going to be some opposition. Some of your family, maybe those inside your own house, but relatives, friends, people that you work with are going to think, Lulu, you know, that used to be somebody's dog's name, wasn't it? The Hunters had a dog named Lulu. But they're going to think something's wrong with you, too. And so we can expect that. I mean, we don't go looking for it. We don't treat people rude and so on so that they want to abuse us or want to oppose us. But Satan will see to it that you're opposed one way or another. And it's amazing what people are opposed to nowadays. I mean, you don't have to do much of anything. If you just, here I go again, I'm sorry, but this is the world we live in, all right? If you produced a product of some kind, and the one that comes to mind is the MyPillow guy, well, he was for Trump. Well, because he was for Trump, now Kohl's and some others are not going to sell MyPillows. Makes me want to go out and buy one, okay? But the point is, it doesn't matter what you do. There's somebody that's going to oppose you for something. And if you believe the Bible, you know, you believe that in creation, that it wasn't a big bang, and it wasn't happening over, you know, evolution, all these things. We started out, crawled out of the slime pit, you know, and here we are today. You know, I mean, to me, that takes a whole lot more faith to believe that than just that God created us. But, you know, they're doing anything and everything they can to explain God out of the picture. And why do we want to do that? Because if God's not there, we're not accountable to him. So you can play all kinds of mind games, but it's not going to change anything. There's still a hell. There's still the great white throne. And those who've rejected him are going to stand before him. Their knees will bow. And they'll spend the eternity in the lake of fire. And you know, I don't take any joy in saying that, but it's just, that's the way it is. You can ignore whatever you want to ignore, but it isn't going to change it. It's not going to make it go away. And because they don't want to believe you. But, okay, if you're going to talk to somebody about the Lord, what's the best thing you can share with them? Or you can, a couple of things. You could share your testimony. This is what the Lord's done for me, okay? This is what I believe. This is what, you know, the Lord's, how he's changed my life. This is why I believe that I'm going to go to heaven, okay? But he's promised that his word won't return void. You know, we can stand there and do this all day long, you know, and what is it? Well, that's your opinion, you know? And God doesn't promise that if we just talk long enough, loud enough to people, that we'll convince them that they are sinners and need to be saved. No, it's the Holy Spirit that's going to convince them. We need to share the truth, and we can share, you know, what God's done for us, satisfied customers, and he's changed our life. And yet we got to get God's word in there, because he's saying that's what's going to kind of burrow in to their minds, and the Holy Spirit's going to come back and not just run a bunch of stuff we've said through their head, but he's going to remind them of what the scripture said. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God, and the wages of sin is death. Things like that. They need to know that, because they're not going to hear that on the 6 o'clock news. They're not going to probably see it on Facebook or wherever else they get their news. Okay, so we're the messengers. We have to share that with them. And so it's important that but it just so you don't sometimes because sometimes we're surprised, you know, and we talked about this with Paul. Here's Paul. He's an apostle. He's out planting churches. He's testifying. He's street preaching. He's starting churches and leading people to Christ and all doing everything he's supposed to do. Where's he end up? Prison. And we think, oh man, let's go break him out. No, God put him in there for a reason. That's why we have as thick a New Testament as we do, right? And you know, sometimes we're looking at the same thing. Something's going wrong in our life. It's kind of like we're in prison, and all we can think about is, I want out of this. And I say, no, it's not an accident that you're in the position you're in. You're in the circumstances you're in. God's got a plan and a purpose. What is it that he wants me to do while I'm here? Remember the old bloom where you're planted? You know, so don't just wish upon a star. Oh, I wish I could just work with Christians all day long. I'll tell you stories about that someday, not tonight. But folks, we're not, all the Christians don't agree. All right? There's opposition. Don't be surprised by it. It may come knocking on your door, and sometimes it hurts our feelings and everything else. And again, he wants to discourage us. What's the title of this whole lesson here? Defeating discouragement. Sometimes we get discouraged. We try to talk to somebody about the God's word, and it's just like, you know, talking to a brick. It just doesn't sink in. They're not interested. Will you quit yapping at me about that? Okay, so back off a little bit. Keep praying for them. Praying that the Lord will soften them up, tenderize them, help them to be interested. Because the thing is, God can bring different circumstances into their life that would cause them to be more interested in spiritual things. And we don't wish bad things to happen to people, but sometimes it's a funeral. Something else that happens kind of rattles their cage, and they're going, hadn't thought much about death till, you know, Uncle so-and-so died or whatever, and I wonder where he's at. Wonder where I'm going. You know, and you know, something like that sometimes can cause people to be interested the next time you talk to them where they weren't before. And again, Satan's not doing it all by himself. He's not a one-man band. He's got a lot of helpers. And the Bible tells us this, and we'll get to that. Well, I guess that's in our morning service. We're in Ephesians there. But to remind ourselves, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of darkness in this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Okay? Sometimes we think our enemies are just people with skin on. But there's something behind that. Somebody's motivating them to do what they do. And they don't even realize it. And so we need to eliminate our doubts from the Word of God. We need to anticipate opposition. And thirdly, as we look here, zero in on this portion tonight here, is to concentrate on the rewards. I know some people say, I don't want to do anything for rewards. You know, okay, fine. God's going to give them to you anyway, right? But he says here, verse 19 and 20, what is our hope or our joy or crown of rejoicing? Are not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at his coming? For ye are our glory and joy. Who was his crown? Who was his reason for rejoicing? Yeah, the fellow believers that he'd been instrumental in it, maybe leading to Christ or at least planting the seed, watering it, somebody else comes along and harvest. You know, like I said, there's nothing we can take with us to heaven. No U-Hauls behind the hearse. The only thing that we can send on ahead is souls, okay? Not that, and sometimes we probably don't use the best terminology, but we kind of get caught up in using it. Winning people for Christ. Well, we don't win anybody, okay? We give them the message. The Holy Spirit works on them. They respond to it. We were instrumental, okay? Like I said, maybe we planted the seed. Maybe we come along and watered after somebody else had talked to them. Maybe we explained things to them, give them our testimony. We had a part in all of this, okay? But ultimately, they come to know the Lord. And you might be surprised. And the thing is, you don't always know. Not everybody that you had a part in their salvation, in telling them something they needed to know, ever come back to you and say, I just wanted to thank you for whatever you said 10 years ago. You know, a lot of that stuff is just, you gave them a track. You know, maybe you knocked on their door. You didn't know them from a bale of hay, but you gave them a track and you invited them to church and never saw them again. You don't know, they sat down in the living room and I put it on the coffee table and they picked that thing up 15 times and read that thing. And at some point they get saved. You don't know. And the thing is, that person, you get to heaven, I don't know, I think God's going to give us, we're going to be really smart when we get there, right? And we're probably going to know all these people that had a part in our life. And so you're going to get, and this I don't have a verse for it, I'm just kind of imagining this. But come up and give you a big hug when you get to heaven. Say, thank you. Thank you for telling me about Jesus Christ. Thank you for not giving up on me. You told me you were praying for me, and I gave you all kinds of grief and reasons, you know, go away, leave me alone, you Bible thumper or whatever, but you didn't give up on me, you know? And those are the rewards. Paul is instrumental in helping people get to heaven. And he's saying, those are the rewards. He was bold. And his boldness got him thrown in jail, got him beaten with whips and sticks and stoned and everything else. But he just kept popping back up, you know, and go out and do it again because he was motivated. He didn't want these people to go to hell. And so he wasn't looking for fame. He did have some of that, but most of his fame was, you know, the people that didn't like him. It wasn't fortune. I'm satisfied Paul didn't have a Swiss bank account that he's, you know, sending offerings off to. No, he was sending it off to Jerusalem and to other people that still were hurting because of their losing their jobs and everything else. And so those people that he was instrumental in leading to Christ, those were his crown of rejoicing. And it talks about two different types of crowns. One of them is the king's crown, okay? Maybe you've seen somewhere in a movie, or maybe even Maureen and I were able to go through Tower of London? You see the crowns that, you know, Queen somebody wore or whatever. And, I mean, that's pretty neat. But the thing is, that's one kind of crown. Well, that's not what Paul's looking for. So he can strut around heaven going, you know, catch the sunlight here. I'm going to blind you with one of those jewels here. No, it was the victor's crown. And to us, that's a little bit foreign. Now with the Olympic Games, you get a gold medal, you know, or a silver or a bronze or whatever. Back then, the victor would get this little crown, you know, that would fit up on his head. And that showed that he was the winner. That was his reward. And we see here that the Lord's got a crown, and the Bible talks about us receiving crowns. And again, what do we get to go around heaven bragging on how many crowns we got? No. What are we going to do with them? Right. We come in empty-handed. We get there with nothing. The only thing we're going to have is what Christ gives us. And he gives us the crowns. And then when it comes time to worship him, we're able to offer them to him, okay? And so, but here he says there in 1 Peter 5, 4, talks about this crown, says, and when the chief shepherd, Christ, shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away, okay? God's keeping track. He knows who's doing what, why, what for. He knows answers to all the questions. But he knows what we're doing. Nobody else may know. You know, I'm not checking anybody's belts, okay? But you remember the old Westerns? You know, they shoot somebody and they get a notch in their belt. You know, another notch. And we don't do that for souls. Oh, another soul. Oh, scratch another one in here. but here he says, again, it's our glory. And same word that we have, doxology. It's honor, it's praise. And these other believers are our honor. They're our praise. That's what's going to give us joy when you get to heaven and you're so thankful that, again, some of these people that you talk to end up in heaven. You know, we might be surprised when we get to heaven, thinking, how did you get in here? And they might be looking at you and saying, I was thinking the same thing about you. You know, but the thing is, sometimes you see people, okay, kids who went to high school, and they're wild and crazy and everything else, and then you see them at a reunion 40 years later, and you find out somewhere in there they got saved and their lives are changed and different things that happen. And so, again, God's going to give us some joy. Says that we aren't going to have any tears in heaven. That'll be kind of nice, won't it? But he also says we're going to have joy. He's going to replace it with some good stuff. And so we have privilege of directing people to Christ. Again, that's what's going to count. It's not size of your bank account or the square footage of your house or what you're driving or anything else, but it's people, okay? That's for whom Christ died, right? He came to seek and to save those that were lost. And folks, that was all of us. And I'm satisfied we all know lost people. You don't have to go to the other side of the world, and I'm not ditching missions at all. But it isn't like we have to go to the other side of the world to find lost people. They're all around us. And God wants us to be that mouthpiece to talk to them. And that's, you know, and I'm saying you, I've got three or four fingers pointing back at me. I got neighbors I need to talk to. We think about, okay, how is rewards going to help you not to fear? I should just leave that and make you think about that all night. Okay. He's going to reward us because, in a sense, we've been missionaries and talking to other people about the Lord. That's important to him. If it's important to us, he's going to reward us for that. And at what point might you need to be reminded, like that song, "It Will Be Worth It All"? Maybe it's when we're being opposed. People giving you fits, you know. Don't talk to me anymore about that stuff, you know. And no, Lord says it's worthwhile. Enough that God's going to reward me for sticking with it. You know, and I mean, this may be one, not probably the only thing, but one of the things that got Paul to get back up out of the dirt after he'd been stoned, or his aching back after he'd been beaten, or being in the stocks, or whatever else has happened to him. I mean, Paul was like a punching bag to a lot of people. And yet he kept coming back, you know. It wasn't he was sadistic or whatever, that he enjoyed pain. Come on, hit me again. No, it was he just didn't want to be deterred from doing what God wanted him to do. And here, he didn't have to wait till he got to heaven. He could look at these Thessalonian believers and he could remember these people and remember what they were and what they are now. They were, you know, going down to the local temple to worship some pagan god. Now they're believers and they're a part of the church and they're talking to their friends and neighbors about the Lord. And that would have been an encouragement to him as he's there in jail. Some of you have been around long enough. Some of you taught Sunday school, different things. I mean, in some ways, it kind of makes you feel old. But I remember when I first came here, and some of the kids at that time were in the youth group. A number of them were teenagers at that point. But they're grown up, got families. Their kids are, you know, so high now. But you see, the people that went on for the Lord, and they're still, you know, 30 years later, they're still living for the Lord and seeking to be used in their local churches. You know, that's an encouragement, seeing lives changed. And this is why he says here, again, reminder, Isaiah 55:11, "So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth, it shall not return unto me void." Again, he doesn't promise that about your word and mine. But he says his word won't return void or empty, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I've sent it. Okay? And so God's into changing hearts, changing lives, changing people's destiny from hell to heaven. And so we need to keep that in mind when we start getting fearful. Okay, I'm fearful to talk to this person about the Lord because what? We're afraid of what people will think or what people will say, what their opinion might be of us when we're all done. And so if we get that afraid, we don't say anything. Or we can say, no, this is a person that's going to spend in heaven or hell. Not that I can save them, but here's the information they're going to need to end up in heaven. And God's going to be so delighted in it. I'm going to be delighted in it to see them changed. You know, we talk about the people that are left behind. I mean, that's pretty tough to be left behind when the rapture takes place and they're, you know, going, where'd everybody go? You know? And again, I don't want to read into scripture. There won't be any tears in heaven, but there might be a flash through our mind of those that we wish we'd have got around to talking to. Do you ever people? You have people like that? One of these days I'm getting around to it. And then it just doesn't happen. But again, small part of the, we can have a small part, okay? You might actually be the one that reaps. You might be the one that actually gets to lead them to the Lord. But there are probably some others watering, planting, encouraging them along, keep pointing them in the right direction. And he's saying, that makes it worth it all. Okay, don't fear. Okay? What can man do unto us? What's the worst man can do to us?
Kill us.
Now that's kind of tough for those family and friends at home. But do you think some of these that have went to be with the Lord this last year, think Jerry's shedding any tears that he's still not hanging around down over here at Brookfield Healthcare Center, whatever it is. No, he's glad to be where he's at. And we will too. All right, look down the road. Look at the future. And God gives us something to look forward to. It's going to be worth it all. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. Pray to you and encourage us when we're tempted to fear. Help us to be reminded that when we start getting afraid, that's not you leaning on us. That's Satan trying to stop us from doing what God wants us to do. Now, there are times when you want to head us off for getting into some problem and steer us in another direction. But especially if we're trying to do the Lord's work, pray that you'd encourage our hearts. Help us not be afraid to talk to people about the Lord. And that we can be like Paul and rejoice in the hearts and lives of people that have been changed. And we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.